follow along with Jesus, to learn of him, and to see how he does things. Sometimes we've come to a spot that we feel like we're so familiar with certain things in the scriptures and things like that, that we feel like we know what is right, but sometimes it's opposite of what the Lord in the Bible teaches us. And so I think it's good to take this walk, and we've already gone through chapter 1, gone through chapter 2 last week, looked at chapter 3 at the beginning, and we're going to be picking up in verse number 7 this morning. As we saw last week, that the religious leaders of the day were sitting there and they were staring at Jesus. And as they're sitting there staring at Jesus, they weren't interested in learning from him. They were interested in finding fault in him. And at the end of verse number 6, they talked about how they might destroy him and talked about whether or not it was right to heal that the man with the withered hand on the Sabbath day. Also have kind of tied in a little bit with our theme this year. I know it's just the beginning of the year is the word blessed, and we talk about the word blessed and the different things and the idea of being blessed and the having so much and having all spiritual blessings is talked about in Ephesians 1. Also talk about how it shows the word blessed. We talk about being happy. And also in other spots in the Bible where it talked about blessed being supremely blessed, and the idea of how God uses that type of individual and the different forms and thoughts when it comes to the word blessed. And that's what you saw in our choir presentation this morning, Psalms chapter 1, that was done to music. And once again, it's neat to put the scripture to music so you can learn and remember those things. And this morning we're coming to another spot in Mark chapter number 3, and we see how Christ, even though his persecutors are growing, but the number of his followers are growing. This morning in our children's church, we have an outreach where people we pick up young people and have children's church early morning about 8:45 and 9:45. We also have people that drive in for that. And this morning we talk about the calling of the disciples, and we explain to them what a disciple was and the difference between a follower and a disciple. And according to this, the story today, it's important we remember that. There's a lot of people that follow Jesus, and there are some that follow Jesus because he could perform the miracles, could make him healed. Some, they even talked about at different times after he had fed the thousands with just those few loaves and fishes, that they followed Jesus because they wanted fed. They wanted to physically have their needs met. Then there was others who followed Jesus because of the fact that they wanted to watch him. Like the religious leaders, they followed after him to see if he made a mistake. And if he made a mistake, they were looking for a way to accuse him, looking for a way to put him to death, as we're going to see later on in the stories that he's crucified on the cross for our sins. And then there was that group that hopefully that's where we kind of all fall into. We follow after Christ because of the fact we want to learn of him. The difference between being a follower and a disciple in my mind is the disciple is one who will apprehend, that will pay attention to what's being said and become like the person that's training them. A disciple is one that will actually not only care about what's being said, they'll see what's being said and they'll change your life based off of what they've heard. There's many people out there today that's a follower, and as long as what they do and what they say isn't affected by what the Bible teaches us, hey, I'm good with it. Hey, as long as it tells me and it doesn't hit something that I don't really like, I'm good with following after them. That's not really a disciple. When we come to church, we come to worship, and one of the greatest forms of worship is to say that he's worthy, and whatever his word says is what I'm going to take, and I'm going to apply it to my life because I want to learn of him. I want to understand what he has to say. I want to know and understand the will of God. Jeremiah last year in our theme was knowing and understanding the will of God, and our theme verses was found in this. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. So it's coming to this understanding of us knowing him and understanding him. He says, if you're going to glory in something, don't glory in how much riches you have or how much wisdom you have or how much strength you have. And usually that's the things people look to and they say, well, that's what's really important. Those are the things we should say and show off. He says, no. If you're going to glory in anything, glory in this, that you know and understand who God is. And so that's the idea that in this passage of Scripture, I believe, Jesus calls a certain group to himself and his disciples and someday the apostles, and he sends them forth. But if you look here in verse number 14, it says in chapter 3, he ordained 12. And I love that next phrase, that they should be with him. It's the idea that he said, these are 12 that I'm taking aside, and the whole purpose that I'm having them come with me is to be with me, to know me, to understand me, to see how things are done and see how I would respond to things and how I would like things to be done, how I'd like things to be accomplished. And it's the idea we're never going truly to know what God's will is for our life unless we spend time with him, unless we spend time learning of him, to understand him, and to see what his word says. So the title of this morning's message is found in that verse number 14, that they should be with him. And hopefully my prayer for this morning is that we would leave this place saying, I want to spend more time with him. I want to spend more time in fellowship with the Lord. I want to spend more time learning of him through his word, through learning of him, through submitting to the Holy Spirit of God, learning of him by praying that they would be with him. Let's go ahead and pick up where we left off last week in verse number 7. But Jesus withdrew himself with his disciples to the sea. Now you see here, why is he withdrawing himself? He has a multitude that's there. You see in verse number 6 at the end says how they might destroy him. They're looking to put him to death. Jesus withdraws himself. Now, as the Son of God, could he have conquered them? Could he have protected himself? Of course he could have. But when they cast him out, Jesus left. When he knew he was not wanted there anymore, and many times when his life was in danger, he would withdraw himself instead of making a spectacle and see a scene, and he would go to somewhere else, and he would continue on teaching and preaching. It says continues in verse 7, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him and from Judea. So we see here that even though the persecutors are ramping up, looking how they might destroy him, he withdraws himself, but still the multitude follows after him. Not just from Galilee followed him and from Judea, it continues on. It talks about not only from the east and the west, but the north and the south, and from Jerusalem and from Idumea and from beyond Jordan. And they about Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude. Once again, it mentions the large number. And when they had heard what great things he did, came unto him. Once again, the attraction of the crowd was those when they heard all those great things he did. But we've showed you from the beginning, the emphasis always has been on the teaching. The emphasis always has been on the preaching. That the miracles were there to show his deity and to help others. But it's the truths that are found, the preaching and teaching should be the emphasis. It's not about the show. Verse number 9, and he spake to his disciples, once again, those followers, that a small ship should wait on him because of the multitude, lest they should throng him. And you can imagine that if there's a huge mass of people there and they're all pushing, maybe some that are even sick or blind and or have demons and they're trying to get to the front, it would have been to a spot where he would have been a dangerous spot for him to just stay in one location, that he wouldn't be able to teach and preach as he desired. So he goes out many times on a boat and he will put between him a little bit of water, and then he'll be teaching and preaching and makes a natural soundboard there to cause it easier even to see. In verse number 10, for he had healed many. This is the reason why they are thronging him. They are trying to get to him. For he had healed many insomuch that they pressed upon him to touch him, as many as had plagues and unclean spirits. When they saw them, now, once again, he heals those that are sick. Then you see him casting out the demons, the unclean spirits, when they saw him. And talking about the unclean spirits, they fell down before him and cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God. And he straightly charged them that they should not make him known. He doesn't want those demons sitting there professing who he is. Verse 13, and he goes up into a mountain, and this is not abnormal. Many times he would go up into the mountains and pray and go up into the mountains and be able to teach and preach and calleth unto him whom he would. I like that phrase there, whom he would. Sometimes people are forced into a ministry or forced into a calling because that's what their parents expect or what their friends may expect or what their family might expect or even what their church may expect. But you see here in the story, and as you see the 12 that he calls, they probably would not be the 12 that we would have called. But Jesus is calling, and he puts a call of God on man's life. And we talked about being a follower. I talked about earlier in the book of Mark, he said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. And here he says he calleth them who he wills. that they should be with him. Verse 13, we go back, and he goeth up into a mountain, calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. We see the calling here is that they respond to that. He calls the ones that has been chosen, and they respond. And there are people out there today with the call of God in their life. There are those that says, I don't want anything to do with the call of God. It's too hard. It's too tough. God doesn't know what he's doing. And then there's others who say, hey, I want to do this, and I believe that I should do this without the calling of God. And then there's others who will say, hey, I will respond to God's call because this is what he desires for me. That's what you see here in the response from the 12 is they respond, and they came unto him. And it says, and he ordained 12, which means he set apart 12. And it's not always about the multitudes. It's not always about the masses. There's many, many that are coming, and there's many, many that are following after him. But once again, there's a difference between being a follower and a disciple. There's a difference between being a fan and a disciple of Jesus Christ. There's a difference between those that want to learn of him because they see that he's God, and they say, I want to serve him because he's God. And then there's others who just follow him when things are convenient. I know today followers are a modern day term because there are people who follow one another on whether Facebook or social media or Twitter or some of those other things. I don't know all those words because they change in or out, and I'm not a big social media guy. The church does have a little bit of Facebook there to try to get the messages out and things like that, but there's people who follow them, but there's for different reasons. Why do we follow Christ? If he's calling you to do something, are we going to respond like they did? And they came unto him, and he says, hey, look, I'm setting aside these 12. I'm ministering to these 12. I'm putting a special emphasis on these 12. So that way they can, and you see, not only does he set them apart, so what does he desire for them to do? It says, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him. And then you see that he might send them forth to preach. So that was the next purpose. He set them aside, and he says, these are the 12 I'm going to pour my life into so that they'll go out and they'll preach. There's the emphasis that's there, that they'll preach and teach the gospel. Now, the next verse does talk about how they will have power. It says, and to have power to heal sickness and to cast out devils. But that wasn't the main emphasis. The main emphasis was to get the word of God out, to get the truth out. Because if you help somebody physically and doesn't help them spiritually, you know what you're doing? You're helping them for a short period of time. If you help somebody spiritually, you're going to help them for all of eternity. Then I want you to see what the names of the men that were called. It said, and Simon, he surnamed Peter, and James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, and he surnamed them Barjonas, which is the sons of thunder, and Andrew, who we know as Simon Peter's brother, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, and the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him. And they went into a house. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask God's help today with the message. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you help us. I know that the truths in here are simple, easy to see. But Lord, sometimes it's hard for us to understand the importance of them. Help us to see the importance of being with you. Help us to be reminded the importance of seeing and understanding who you are. Not just looking for our own ways, not just looking for our own thoughts, not glorying in what our own wisdom is, but Lord, that we would glory in the fact that we know you and that we strive to understand you. God, speak to our hearts about spending time with you. That's where our power source is from. Lord, help us today in this message. In Jesus' name, amen. So, a couple things. First thing I want you to think about is I want you to think about the message. He says he ordained the 12 in verse 14 and that they should be with him and that he might send them forth to preach. So what are they going to preach? And we talked about the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. These, at least 11 of these 12 that he's talking about, are sent out into what is called the Great Commission. I do not believe that it's only for those 12. I do not believe it was only for the 120 that were there. I believe that the Great Commission is for all. And what is that? It's to tell people about the gospel of Jesus Christ. So what's the gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, it talks about the good news that Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sins. And to understand the good news, we must understand in just a short time what is the gospel is the fact that we're all sinners and that we're all headed to a horrible place called hell. You say, well, that's not very good news. Well, you can't really have good news without understanding the bad news. The bad news is what the scripture says and what the Bible teaches us is that we're all lost and that we're all undone and that we're all headed to a horrible place called hell. But God commendeth his love toward us. He saw, he demonstrated, he knew we had need, that God commendeth his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, while we were lost, Christ died for us. What does that mean, Christ died for us? That means that Jesus Christ paid our sin debt for us. The story of Christmas talks about how God, Son of God, Jesus became man for us, dwelt among us, and lived with us for over 33 years. And we see the ministry. That's who Jesus is here. As you'll see, as the end of the gospel comes along, it talks about how he was betrayed and how he was crucified on a cross. And he died and paid our sin debt for us. And he rose again victoriously, conquering death, grave, and hell all at the same time. And he offers us a way of salvation. He offers us a way to understand not only the peace of God, but the God of peace. He offers us a way to take us off that road to hell and put us on a road to heaven. And then once again, it's a very short capsule of the story, because you'll see there's preaching and sermons all throughout that. People here, I've been going to church most my entire life. And I'm getting ready to turn 50 next year. I know. I already look 50, but that's okay. I'm getting ready to turn 50, and I've heard four messages a week, or I've taught and four messages a week over these many years, and I've learned it in the Bible. You just learn and learn more, and there's freshness and there's newness in it. But the gospel, the story is that Jesus Christ, according to Scripture, according to God's plan, died, was buried, and rose again to give us a way of salvation. And if we will receive that by faith, if we will turn to him and we'll believe what the Bible says, that we're all sinners, and if God convicts us of our sin and sees that we understand that we're a sinner and see that we need a salvation, and we call upon him with faith and believing and trusting in him and him alone, we can be saved. That's the message that's there. That's the message he's ordaining them. Now, I understand what you're going to say about the dispensation and the message of the kingdom of heaven. We know what we're talking about here. That's what they were sending him out. He was training them so that way someday he would send them out into the world. And the Bible says it turned the world upside down with the preaching and teaching this gospel. So what does that mean? The message is important. The message we give to others. I think it's great that people talk about how much they love the church, or how much they love the pastor, or how much they love their church family. Those are all good things. We're even having a community outreach. Hey, I love my church. And when that day, we're going to talk about how we love our church in the afternoon. We're going to give a chance to give testimonies. And the thought behind it is, you know, I love this church because of what it stands for. I love the church because of the fact that Christ instituted the church. I love the church because of, and don't get me wrong, I love my church family, and that's part of it. I love the relationships of working together for the cause of Christ, but the church is there not only for fellowship and edification, but also to send out the Great Commission, to be able to support missionaries, and for us to be able to go out and tell the world. And so we don't want to impress people with our church, because sometimes our church may fail, sometimes our church may do something dumb, but you know what? We want to lift people up for Jesus Christ. That's who we want to emphasize. We want to emphasize Christ. We want to emphasize what he's done and those different things. So that's the preaching that's there. That's the ordaining that happened there. So I want you to think about Jesus is the one that did the calling, as we saw that already in verse number 13, calleth unto him whom he would. Has God called you into a certain service? And I'm not just clarifying as a full-time ministry. Sometimes people say, well, he hasn't called me into full-time ministry. That normally what they're talking about there is that some person feels a calling to God and they do not work a full-time job. Instead, they specifically have a ministry that supports them so they can go out and do the work of God in a full-time type status and do different things for the church. And they help take care of their income and they help take care of their living expenses and things like that so they can work in a full time. But I'm asking you, has God called you to a certain ministry? God, I believe, has given all of us the gift that are a believer, and all of us have a responsibility of something we should be doing. The next thing I want you to think is not only that, what was the calling that was there? And I love this. I know I've already alluded to it, but I'm going to try to make it a little bit more pointed when it says in verse 14 that they should be with him. So I really truly believe that Jesus is there, and as the teacher, the master is teaching his disciples, the best way for them to learn is to be with him. I know you can learn things about others by watching them. I know you can learn things by others by spending a little bit of time with them or reading books about them. But the best way you're going to get to know someone and understand their heart and their likes and their dislikes, sometimes people sit back from a distance and they watch things and say, I bet you he did that because of this reason. And I bet you he did that because of this reason. I bet you. And lots of times that's a bunch of foolishness then. Because of that, you don't really get to know the heart of the person. Sometimes when people hear that I've made a decision and they don't want to come talk to me about that or discuss about things, they says, well, the pastor did this and said this because of this. They never even discussed it with me. They don't understand a person's heart. And the same thing with our own selves. The only way we're truly going to get to know someone is when we spend time with them and we share with them our hearts, our desires, our interests, our likes, our dislikes, the reason why I said that, the reason why I didn't say that, all those different things. You learn of a person. You grow in an understanding when you spend time with them. And that's what Jesus is doing here. He says, look, he's ordained them. He's called them. And here's the first thing that they need to do. They need to spend time with them. And as we look in the Bible and the scriptures, he has given us in his word what he wants us to know about him. He has showed us and given us his doctrine, the things he loves and the things that he hates, the things that we should do and the things we should not do. And as we understand him and we're going to learn about him more, and he even talks about, come unto me, all ye. And then at the end it says, that ye learn of me. Are we really learning of Christ? And that's what these Pharisees and religious leaders, they feel like, hey, I love God, and they kept on harassing Jesus over and over and over. They didn't take time to learn of him. You even think about these disciples. They even got it wrong at times. You think about it, when they were there and they were following Jesus, one time there was a group, I believe it was in Samaria, that did not want to accept Jesus, and some of the disciples looked at Jesus and said, hey, do we want to call fire down from heaven? Do we want to burn them up because they didn't want to accept you? And Jesus says, you don't even know what spirit you're of. They were there and they were walking with Jesus and they were learning from Jesus, but they still had in their own mind and their own heart the things that they believed was right. And what I'm encouraging you to do today is to ask God to give you a greater desire that you should spend time with him. And you make sure that you have time and opportunity. But many times people don't even read their Bibles. Many times people don't even spend time praying. Many times they think if they come to church once a week that that's all they need. But God says he wants us to walk with him. And walking with God doesn't mean that we get ahead of him. Doesn't mean that we get behind him. It means that we're walking step by step and letting him lead us and guide us and direct us in his ways. And the challenge that comes in the day and time is, are we truly representing the Lord the way we should? Go ahead and take your Bibles to the book of Proverbs real quick, if you can. Book of Proverbs. And I know when we're going through a book of the Bible, we don't oftentimes, we use other passages. But with this one, with this spot, I want you to tie in the word blessed here. Go look what it says in Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8 is talking about wisdom, talking about a lot of different benefits and the doctrine of wisdom and not following it and how wisdom is available. But look what it says in Proverbs 8. Look what it says in verse 32. Now therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Once again, we got that word blessed. Happy are they. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Now look what it says again. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. So what the scripture is saying there is the person who's blessed, the person who's going to be happy, the person who's going to be supremely used by God is a person who will take time to keep the ways of the Lord. Verse 34, it says, the person who's hearing, and not just hearing, look what it says, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post, waiting for the instruction of the Lord, waiting for what the Lord wants us to do, spending time with him, anxiously waiting for whatever's next. Look what it says in verse 35, for whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Let's go back to Mark chapter 3. You say, why did you stop there? Because it's so important that we hear the ways of the Lord and that we listen for the ways of the Lord and that we seek out the ways of the Lord, that we are watching daily at the posts and we're watching daily at the gates and we are interested and we're spending time with the Lord and we're saying, can you lead me? Can you guide me? Can you direct me? I don't want to do anything wrong. I don't want to do anything that's going to be off, take me off track and get me to the wrong spot. So many times what I've come across many Christians are, they say they're doing things in the name of the Lord, but they're contrary to the Bible. They say that I want to listen, I want to spend time, I want to hear, but in all reality, they have heard part of it, but they only do part of it. You ever been around people that you have the responsibility to be the person in charge of them? Some of you guys know my history. Some of you know my background. I got the opportunity to manage a number of places before I came here. And lots of times people do the things that they think they heard you say. Specifically, you give them some instruction. Specifically, you say, I desire for this to be done and do it this way. And they turn around, they hear something different, and they do what they, and they honestly believe they're doing what you said, but they never took the time to listen to hear specifically what you said. Now, if you're a parent, or if you've ever had the opportunity to managing somebody or been in charge of some type of group or another, you know exactly what I'm talking about. They're doing exactly what they thought you wanted them to do, and they're doing it with all sincerity and doing it their whole heart, but they did not take the time to listen to what that person wanted. I think that's a problem many times in Christians' lives today. They have not taken the time to spend with him and learn exactly what he desires. And so because of that, people are doing things in the name of God. They think they're doing what's right, and they're doing it with complete sincerity, but they haven't taken time to listen and to think on him and ask him. My challenge to you today is spend time with him. Don't just... And then once again, we don't forget about all the things we've learned, obviously. We don't forget about all those things we've learned in the light. I get that, and all those things we learned over the year. But every fresh and daily, we go and we wait at the gates and we wait at the posts and we're anxiously listening for God's wisdom and God's direction. It's there. It's available. Spend time with him. Oh, I spent time with him last year. I spent time with him. I used to read my Bible all the time. I was so close to him. It's as if God was leading and directing my steps. You can't base your Christian life off of something that used to be. He called these 12 and he says, hey, I want you to come. It's not just enough to be part of the big group. It's not just enough to be part of the masses that are following. He says, I'm going to ordain you 12 to go out and do something for me. So you need to spend time with me so you'll learn of me, so you'll understand what it says that you should say and what it is that you should do. And they still missed it up sometimes. And we're still going to mess it up sometimes. But the desire is, am I spending time with him? Because I'm never going to truly know him like I should and like I can if I don't spend time with him. Some people are like, I don't need to read my Bible. I don't need to pray. I know enough about it. And that's not what the Bible says. Blessed is the man that what? That walk, and we talk about it, walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. It's a delighting in him and in his word and knowing him. Acts chapter 4, verse 13 is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. You know what, I say that all the time because I like a lot of them. But in Acts 4:13, it talks about Peter and John and how they were getting in trouble for something they had done under the power of the Holy Spirit. And it says, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were, now listen to this, unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. Peter and John's ability to speak and to teach and preach and the boldness they spoke with when they were challenged. Most people would back off and they would just say, whatever you said to the religious leaders. No, no, no. They spoke with boldness. They spoke with truth. They marveled and they said this phrase and they took knowledge of them. And listen to this, that they had been with Jesus. They had spent time with Jesus. They looked at these two fishermen that should not have been able to speak that way, that should not have had that knowledge, that should have been responding with fear, that should have been responding with trembling, that should have been responding with worry. And they said, you know what? Jesus changed them. It made them different because they spent time with him. And I tell you, in my own life, I know it and I can understand it and I can feel it. When I take time to spend with him and I take time reading about him, when I take time to learn about him, when I take time to speak to him, that God works in my heart and God works in my life to make me what he wants me to be. And he encourages me. No longer am I so short-tempered. No longer do I have such vain thoughts. No longer. And there's so many different things. Why is that? Because I've taken time to spend time with him so that way he can change me. Our verse for this morning in Children's Church is similar to the verse we learned a number of weeks ago. And he says, and he saith unto them, he says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And I love that phrase, I will. It's being a fisher of men is something we cannot do in our own strength, cannot do in our own might. We cannot save people. We're not going to have the burden that we should unless we follow him. But it's our job is to follow him, to be a disciple of him, to learn of him. And as we learn of him, he says, I will make you. It's not you having to figure it all out. It's just spending time with him, being close to him, and he will make you the ability to have fishers of men. But it's not just fishers of men. I can make you the right husband. I can make you the right wife. I can make you the right church member. I can make you the right American. I can make whatever role it is. I can make you the soul winner. I can make you a person who can forgive. I can make you a person that doesn't have the bad attitude. I can. He says, I will make you. That's God. That's not me. And spending time with him is how we learn and grow and understand. You say, Pastor, I've spent time with the Lord all the time. I read his Bible all the time. Well, then let's go back to that question is, are you a follower or are you a disciple? Because sometimes, and in my own life, I've been guilty of reading the Bible and just to read it, check off the list, because that's what I'm supposed to do. And not allowing God to do a work in my heart that could make a huge difference. I want to encourage you this morning. Would someone look at you and say, there's a change in your life? They spent time with the Lord. They took knowledge that they spent time with Jesus. Over and over, the scripture talks about how it's a wise man who will listen. Be ye doers of the word and hearers, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. There's even the story about the wise man. He said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, he be likened unto him unto a foolish man. And it's not just hearing we must learn to do. It's not just being a follower or a fan of Jesus. It's learning of him, being a disciple of his. That's why he took these 12 aside. He says, you need to spend time with me so you can learn. Have you ever poured your life into someone before? And it's you're there and you want them to be with you so they can see how you react and you can teach them certain things and you can show them so that way they can learn of you so they can know what you want done in the future. That's what he's doing here. But that's the same call to all of us today. One last thought and we'll be done. You say, Pastor, it's kind of hard. It's kind of tough. I want you to look at the for just a second, all these different names. In verse 16, the 12 men that were called. He surnamed Peter. Peter, we know, is a little bit of a loudmouth. James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, surnamed them Barjonas, which is the sons of thunder. We think about John in the Gospel of John, the same guy who wrote that, passionate, loving, but he also was a person known for being thunderous in their speech. Andrew is known for bringing people to Jesus. Philip and Bartholomew, you know, there's all different types. Matthew, who we also know that we saw earlier, he was a publican and tax collector, all those different things. And you see Simon the Canaanite also is known for being a zealot. And you say, what's the big deal about that? Well, he was allied with a group of zealots that fought Rome every chance they got. And Matthew was a guy who sold himself in order to be able to collect taxes to make a living. Now, these two guys, in fleshly, would have been at each other's throat all the time. But instead, with God's help and God bringing them together, they were able to work together for the cause of Christ. So what are you bringing up? I'm saying that God calls who he will to do a certain work. We should learn how to get along and work together. It is bigger than us. Our church, our mission is bigger than who we are, and we should be pushing forward for the cause of Christ. And you see how these 12 get along. And you go to the last one, and it says, and Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him, you know, that was all written ahead of time. Jesus knew all that, all those different things. But there's 11 guys there that turned the world upside down with the Holy Spirit's help. They worked together. They were able to get along together. And I want to encourage you as a church, let us make sure we're working together for the cause of Christ. Be sober, be vigilant. It talks about one mind and one spirit for the faith. All those different things we're told over and over. So what's the application for today? Do you spend time with him? Can you really say you have a close, intimate, personal relationship with him? How well do you know him? We know people as well as we want to know them. I think it was Mike Thurman, first preacher I ever heard say this, but I've heard other preachers, you are as close to God today as you want to be. You spend as much time with him as you want to. You know him as well as you want to. Because he says if you'll draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh to you. So how well do you know him today? Have you learned of him? Do you act like him? Do you see like him? Do you talk like him? You say, who can do that? The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, we can have the mind of Christ if we spend time with him. Let me encourage you, spend time with your Lord and Savior. You say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm saved. You say, Lord and Savior, talked about being lost and people dying and going to hell. I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Let me encourage you to talk to somebody today. We're going to give you an opportunity to come forward if you like to, and we can have somebody take a Bible. They'll take you in the back and show you straight from the Bible how you can be saved and on your way to heaven, according to what the Bible says. Let me encourage you to do that today. And to the believer that's in the room, do you spend time with him? Do you spend time with him? He's ordained you. He sent you out. He set you aside for a purpose and a reason. And he wants you to spend time with him. Let's pray.